let's get started. I'm going to do a quick recap of last week, and then we will, Mir Tashem, complete this segment on the canonization of the Tanakh. That is the deciding which of the Sfarim, Sifrei Kodesh, were to be included and which would be excluded. So the recap goes as follows. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Kikaro Belecha Hadar Vameod. This thing, Rashi explains, is the Torah is very close to you. Rashi says as follows, HaTorah nitna lechem bichsav u'ba'al peh. The Torah was given at Har Sinai in writing and orally. Both were given at Har Sinai together. What does that mean? So the Mefarshim explained this Rashi as follows. If we just had the Torah shebichsav, it would be incomprehensible. There's so much in there that we would just not understand without the commentary of the Torah shebaal peh. And that's why it's kikar velecha. That's why it's very close to us, because we also had the Torah shebaal peh given, not only the Torah shebichsav, because we need the two of them in order for it to be close and understandable to us. Famous Mishnah, probably the most famous Mishnah in all of Mishnayos, is the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that gives the Mesorah. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Masra liYeshua. Yeshua gave it to this Canaan, handing down the Mesorah to generation, and it ends up with the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. So that's the Mesorah, and there Rabbeinu Yonah says when a Torah that was nitna, the Torah that was given at our Sinai, again he says that's not only the Torah shebichsav, but it's also the Torah shebaal peh. So continuing, we have to classify then what's in which category. What's the Torah shebichsav and what's in the Torah shebaal peh? Kepshuto, obviously, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah is in the Torah shebichsav, right? Everything else then would be in the Torah shebaal peh. Where does that leave the Nevim and the Ksuvim? Is that Torah shebichsav or is it Torah shebaal peh? And if it's not Torah shebichsav, how was it ever written? Because Rashi, and we will readjust this, Samir Tzashem, when we get to the second part after Ben Azmanim of the writing of the Mishnah, Rashi says you're not allowed to write the Torah Shebaal Peh. So how was Nevim and Ksuvim ever written down? Excellent question. Fascinating question. So Rav Zilig Epstein gave an answer for us. The second answer last time we gave two. But the one that we went with is as follows. Shebishas Matan Torah, at the time of Matan Torah, based on a Medrash, Nitztavu Al Aksiva. The entire Tanakh, Moshe was commanded, it's going to be written. But Moshe Rabbeinu only wrote the Torah, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, not the balance. Moshe was told, this Tanakh, it's going to be written. As it occurs, it will be written. But the obligation to write it down and the heter, the permit to write it down, started all the way at Matan Torah. Okay, last time we focused a lot on the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. We said that throughout, from when Moshe Rabbeinu set up his Sanhedrin in Parshas Baaloscha and this Skenim that were on Har Sinai, how many were there in the Sanhedrin?
70.
70 plus Moshe, 71. 70, 71. We had a swing vote, the Nasi, who was on top of the Sanhedrin. That works all the way through Bayis Rishon, come Bayis Sheni, in place of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, we had what? The Anshei Knesset HaGdola. How many people were in the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? 120. Why 120? So Rav Reuven Margolius says, in order to establish an official body, a governing body, every one of the great Talmidei Chachamim who could have been on the Sanhedrin had to be accepted onto the new governing body, and that was 120. Count everyone, because it had to be accepted by all. We don't want dissenters saying we weren't accepted in the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. We're not acknowledging its ability to govern. So he explains that Anshei Knesset HaGdola had 120. That was at the time of Bayis Sheni, right before coming back, Ezra, Nehemiah, etc. Number of Nevim come, and Chachamim established Anshei Knesset HaGdola, and it was 120 members, which were not replaced as members passed away. It dwindled down back to 70, and then it was kept at 70. So when it went to 69, the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola appointed another person to keep it at 70. Well, we don't have, good question.
Establish a very large body. Let it
you know, it's going to have to wait until Bayis Shlishi. Until Bayis Shlishi, it's going to. I think I read recently that somebody tried to establish right now a Sanhedrin HaGadol on Har HaZeisim or something. It's not practical. We'll leave it at that. It's not just not practical to have a governing body. Halavai, it should be practical that we could have agreement of the masses. But right now, given that we're too fractured, it's not a practical thing that we could have. So it was 120, and it was called, as we know, Second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. As soon as it started to diminish from the number of 120, it went from being called the Anshei Knesset HaGdola to the Shiarei Knesset HaGdola, the leftovers, no longer 120. Now it's not called the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, Knesset HaGdola, Shiarei Knesset HaGdola. The last of them, as we say in the Second Mishnah Pirkei Avos, is Shimon HaTzadik. Now there's a historic, the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. After that, it reverted to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, but it didn't have the extra status of having the Anshei Knesset HaGdola that had a lot more than just halachic powers, had a lot of religious and other governing powers. There's a discussion amongst the poskim, the Rishonim and Achronim. When did Shimon HaTzadik live? Was it toward the beginning of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, that he was the last of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? Or was it halfway through of the 420 years that the Bayit Sheni was extant? So that is an open question. When he was the Kohen Gadol, Shimon HaTzadik, for 40 years, was it towards the beginning? Was he the second Kohen Gadol, second to Ezra? That's the sheet of the Meiri, the Rambam, or others saying no, it was a couple hundred years into the Bayit Sheni. We left that as an open question, but what's very important for us is that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola was the body that decided what would be included in the Tanakh and what would not be included in the Tanakh. That was a major function of theirs, is deciding, and it wasn't simply flipping a coin to say what should be included or what should not be included. They had to go and decide what was divine and what was simply chachma, intelligence of the writer, but what was divinely inspired in Mir Hashem. We will get to that in a little bit. One last point from last week. We said that in the Mishnah in Avos, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said three things. The first of them is Hevu Misunim Bedin. And we typically explain that is when you're judging litigants in front of you, you have to make sure to take your time and make a decision correctly when people are litigating, when they're arguing over money or whatever it may be. A judge has a responsibility to judge properly and slowly to make the right decision. The Avos, the Rebbe Nosson, says that's actually talking about the process the Anshei Knesset HaGdola went through to decide what would be included in the Tanakh and what would not be included in the Tanakh. Hevu Masunim Bedin, we have to go carefully and tread lightly and make sure that we make the correct decisions. For example, Mishle, Shirashim, and Koheles were initially thought that it would be excluded and had to be put in Geniza because there were things in them that were deemed inappropriate. And it took the Anshei Knesset HaGdola to come along and explain the controversial items that were included in those Sifrei Kodesh. Okay, how many? We're starting on page number 8, if you have the handouts from last time. How many books are there in the Tanakh? So we're going to start on source number 43. There's a pasuk in Koheles that says as follows: V'yoser mehema b'nihi zayir. Beyond these, my son, beware. Aso svarim harbe in case. The making of many books is without limit, and much study is weariness of the flesh. The pasuk seems to be looking down upon writing many svarim. Sounds a little bit strange. We should write as many svarim as possible, right? Chidushei Torah, whatever it is. So the pasuk in Koheles seems to look down on writing too many svarim. So the Medrash in source 44 says as follows: the Yoser Mehina Bnei Hizar Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chaf Dolit Svarim Kasafti Lecha Hizar Val Tosef Aleihem. There are 24 books in Tanakh, and no more. Do not add on to them. In fact, there was a gzeira of Chazal discussed in the Mishnah and the Gemara and Sanhedrin that anyone who read outside of the Tanakh books, ein lo chelek l'olam haba, he has no place in the world to come. Sounds very extreme, right? What's the concept there? So Reuven Margolius, again, in his Sefer Yesod HaMishnah Arichata, has an unbelievable explanation. He says at the time that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola were deciding what would be in the Tanakh and what would be out, they really had to put their foot down. Because if they didn't make a bright line saying this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, they would not be able to establish and canonize the Bible. Because there were other books that were around at the time that would be confusing to people, thinking that they were very similar to books in the Tanakh, so they should be included also. So they came down very strong and said any books that could be confused with books, and they list out which Ben Sira, for example, is one of the books, anything that can be confused with the Sefer that's in Tanakh but it wasn't included, there was a prohibition to read them. Now some explain that it was a prohibition to learn them be'iyun. But to check them, the post can talk about how about reading these type of svarim on a temporary basis, books you shouldn't be reading in the bathroom, stuff like that. We couldn't read Ben Sira in the bathroom because it still has a lot of chokhmah, chas v'shalom, but books like that, they shouldn't be learned be'iyun as if they are sifrei Tanakh. So 24 books in the Tanakh, page number 9, source number 49, the Gemara Baba Basra, Yudal Adam Abay says, what's the order of the books in the Nevi'im? Tanu Rabbanan, Sidran Shel Nevi'im. This is the order of the books in Nevi'im, Yoshua, Veshoftim, Shmuel, Umalachim, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yeshayahu, Shnei Masar. That's Trey Asar. That's the order of the Nevi'im. And then the Gemara makes a statement that the last of the Nevi'im were Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi. Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi were members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah at the beginning when it was established. That was a continuation of the Tekuf of the generation of Nevuah of prophecy, and it ended then towards the beginning of Baisheni. So they were of the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, and those are three of the names that are included in the books or book, Treyasar. Treyasar literally means 12. 12 different Nevi'im. They are three of them. The order of the Ksuvim, then the Gemara continues, source number 50, Sidran Shel Ksuvim, Rus, the Sefer Tehillim, Iyuv, Mishle, Koheles, Shirashirim, Kinos, Daniel, Megillas Esther, and Divrei HaYamim. Those are all the Ksuvim, and then the Gemara continues and says, who wrote each of these books? Even though a Sefer may have the name of a certain Navi on it, it doesn't mean that he actually wrote it. It could have been written by somebody else. Very fascinating. We're not going to go through the whole Gemara. We're going to go through the last two lines in source number 51. It says, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, Kasvu Yechezkel, Ushnei Masar, Daniel, Megillas Esther. It was actually the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah at the beginning of Bayit Sheni that wrote a number of the Sisvarim of the books of Tanakh, and Ezra wrote which book? Ezra. He wrote Ezra. Ezra wrote Ezra. And also he wrote some of Divrei HaYamim. When he wrote Divrei HaYamim, at least one person is smiling there. So Ezra wrote the book of his name. Now, what's interesting is the Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, they were three of the Nevi'im at the time of the Bayit Sheni. They wrote the entire Treyasar, even for the nine Nevi'im that predated them. So Rashi explains why. We're on page number 10, source 52, four lines down where it's underlined. Page 10, source 52, four lines down. Ushnei Masar Mitoch. So why did the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah write the Treyasar, the 12 tiny little books of Nevi'im together? Shayun Nevuoseyem Ktanos. Look, Chatvum HaNevi'im Atzma. The Nevi'im, they were just short little books. They had short Nevi'im, the prophecy, so they didn't even write it down. Ish Sifro, Bo Chagai Zechariah Malachi, Barosh Ruach HaKodesh Mistalekes. They saw that at this time of Bayit Sheni, Ruach HaKodesh, we're going to define that what that means, was coming to an end. Shayuhem Nevi'im Afronim, they were the last of the prophets. The Amdu V'Kasfu, Nevuoseyem, they wrote their own prophecies, and they wrote down also the rest of the Treyasar, the nine prophets that came before them, so they wrote the entire Treyasar. Okay, so another note along the same line, the Yerushalmi talks about the inclusion of Megillas Esther in the Tanakh. When did the whole story of Mordechai and Esther happen? During the Galus, in which country? In Persian Bavel, it happened in Bavel, and there is a whole discussion. The Gemara, can this be included in certain things that Mordechai and Esther wanted to institute that are written in the Megillah? Should this be included in the Tanakh or not? And the end of the day, the Gemara where it's underlined in source 56 is fascinating. It says Shmonim v'chamisha zakenim. There were 85 zakenim. In other words, this is the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Umehem shlosha v'kama nevim, and there were 30 something nevim that were discussing whether the Megillas Esther should be included in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. Question that we did last time, why does it say 85 in the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? Why doesn't it say 120 on the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah? Because they had already dwindled down to this number. They'd only at this time that they were discussing, should Megillas Esther should be included or not, they had dwindled down from the 120. Okay, another interesting side point, actually before we get to that, question, what was included in Nevi'im, prophets, and what was included in the Ksuvim, the writings? Right, we have three divisions in Tanakh. Ta is Torah, Chamisha Chumashei Torah, Na, Nevi'im, prophets, and Ch, Ksuvim. So what was, we know Chamisha Chumashei Torah, that's the Torah part, but how about Nach? How was it divided up between the two? So the Radak, who was an early Rishon of David Kimchi, living in the 11 and 1200s in France, says that it was divided up whether it was generated based on Nevuah or based on Ruach HaKodesh. What's the difference between the two? Nevuah is on a higher level, prophecy, and Ruach HaKodesh is on a lower level. And he gives some detail, and the Rambam in his Moreh Nevuchim says the same thing. The Nevuah is something as follows. It's source number 60, where it's in bold. It says, Ki HaNevuah. Hudavar ba'al ha'adam shu chacham shalom b'midosav. To have nevuah, it has to come to somebody who has impeccable character traits. Tavolo ha'nevuah b'chalom. He's going to receive the nevuah while he is dreaming. Uba'ez teve'ehu ha'nevuah b'hakif tivatlu kolchosav ha'ergashim. If he has a nevuah while he's awake, all of his senses are nullified. And it's an image. It's like a dream that he has, and there is how he receives the prophecy. That's the higher level nevuah. On the other hand, source 61, for ruach hakodesh hu shia adam shalem mitasek b'divrei Elokim. Somebody who has tremendous midos, he's awake, and he's involved in his learning, involved in mitzvahs, whatever it may be. Shalem b'chol hagashosav, his senses are fully intact. Lo tispat el achas mem, and his senses are not nullified. He's fully aware, he's speaking whatever he's learning. Also, Ruach Elyonos, he has some divine inspiration. And he has a divine inspiration. And that's what's Ruach HaKodesh. So the Radak and the Rambam says the same thing. The division between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, Nevi'im is through Nevuah, which is on a higher level, and Ksuvim is on a somewhat lower level because it is Ruach HaKodesh. We're going to get to in a little bit then an interesting byproduct of this discussion. When you have a couple Svarim, if I have the Navi and I have something from Ksuvim Tehillim, for example, and I was learning Sefer Yeshua, can I put the Sefer from Ksuvim, like the Tehillim, on top of a Navi, or does the Navi have to be put on top? Navi is from Nevuah, and Ksuvim is from Ruach HaKodesh. So apparently I would have to put the Navi on top. Now another interesting point that the Radak says, why is it called Ksuvim? We can understand why it's called Nevi'im, because it was Nevuah, prophecy, that was generated. Ksuvim means writings. And the Radak explains that these were Ksuvim, they were written Beruach HaKodesh, in Ruach HaKodesh. That's why it's called Ksuvim. Ksuvim Beruach HaKodesh, they were written down with divine inspiration. So that's why it's called Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Okay, just an interesting point is a Yerushalmi in source 63 that says as follows: Rabbi Yochanan Amar Hanavim Vaksuvim Atidim Libata. In the future, when Mashiach comes, the Nevim and Ksuvim, the Nach, will be nullified. We will only be left with the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. And Rabbi Shimon ben Laki says Amar Af Megillas Esther, also Megillas Esther and Halachos will not be nullified. So the Rambam takes this at its face value and he says that's true. In the future we'll only be left with Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. The Nevi'im and Ksuvim, except Megillas Esther, will be nullified. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. He says, what are you talking about? The Tanakh will always be here. It's simply we will not be reading the Nevi'im and Ksuvim in public, just the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. We won't be reading the Megillas, except Megillas Esther. We won't read the Haftorahs, for example. We'll only read from the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah. But none of the Tanakh will ever be nullified. Okay, two questions that we're going to talk about, and then we will complete the Mirtz Hashem, the topic. Question number one is, if I have some Sfarim, and I want to sell them to buy other Sfarim, I got some Judaica, I'm done. Chumash, I know it by heart now, and I want to sell my Chumash, and I want to buy some Nach. Can I do that? Question number one. And question number two is going to be, how about the placement of the various Sfarim? So there is a Mishnah Megillah. We're at the end of page number 12. And it says as follows. We're not going to go through the whole Mishnah here, but for example, it talks about if you have a shul, people of the community sell a shul, you can buy something of higher value, for example, an Aron Kodesh, but you can't buy something of lower value, lower Kedusha, lower holiness. And then it goes on and says that if you sell the cover of a Sefer Torah, with that, you can go up in value, and you can buy Sfarim. Sfarim is Nevim Eksuvim. And if you sell Sfarim, if you sell your Nevim Eksuvim, it's underlined at the end of page number 12, Sfarim Glokhim Torah. If you sell Nevim Eksuvim, what can you buy with that? You can buy Chumash. You can buy a Sefer Torah with that. However, you can't go in the reverse order. Aval Imachra Torah. What if you sold the Torah? Lo yikhu svarim, you can't buy nevim ksuvim. What's the concept here? I can go up in kedusha, but I cannot go down in kedusha. What's that called in Hebrew? Malin ba kodesh ve'ein moridim. We go up in holiness, and we don't go down in holiness. Yeah.
What if someone who writes a sacred Torah and sells it? What is he supposed to do with that money?
I think that's saying we're talking about. It's a very good question. He has to live on it, right? But that was written for the purpose of selling. It's talking about an institution, a shul that bought a Sefer Torah. Don't sell another. The Gemara goes into the details. What if we want to sell an old one to buy a new one? That's all discussed in the poskim. Okay, so that's when it comes to selling and buying. The concept is Ma'alim B'Kodesh. We go up in Kedusha, but we don't go down. How about putting Sfarim on top of each other? Now, this we're going to get into more detail on. Source number 69. The Gemara in Megillah continues, Manichin Sefer Torah Agabe Sefer Torah Agabe Torah. You can put a Sefer Torah on top of a Sefer Torah. Right? If you need to stack them for whatever reason, you can put one on top of the other. They are of equal Kedusha, of equal holiness. V'Torah Agabe Chumashim, and you can put a Sefer Torah on top of Chumashim. Now, when it says Chumashim here, it's not talking about our stone edition Chumash. It's not talking about that. It's talking about scrolls of Chumashim that were written just like a Sefer Torah, but they never were sewn together to have the Chamisha Chumshei Torah make up a Sefer Torah. It's talking about that they had each of Bereishis separate from Shmos, separate from it. So it has a lower level of Kedusha than a Sefer Torah. But it still has tremendous kedusha. So manichin sefer Torah al gabe Torah. You can put a sefer Torah on a sefer Torah. V'Torah al gabe chumashim, and we can put a Torah on top of individual books of a Torah. The chumashim al gabe nevim uksuvim. We can put chumashim on top of nevim and ksuvim. How about nevim on top of ksuvim? Ksuvim on top of nevim? Doesn't say. And the reverse, but we cannot put Nevim Ksuvim on top of Chumashim, and we cannot put Chumashim on top of a Sefer Torah. Interestingly, he doesn't mention here a difference between Nevim and Ksuvim. It kind of groups them together. Nevim and Ksuvim can be under a Chumash, have to be under a Chumash. You can't put them on top of a Chumash, but Ava Navi and Ksuvim, it doesn't distinguish here. So the Tosfos says as follows, source number 70. We only find here that you can't put Nevim and Ksuvim on top of a Torah. Nevim al gabe Ksuvim or Ifchalo. We do not distinguish between Nevim and Ksuvim. You can have either order. A Navi you can put on top of a Ksuvim. Ksuvim can put on a Navi. You can have a Tehillim on top of Sefer Yeshua on top of Tehillim. It doesn't matter based on this because we see that the Gemara is grouping them together. The Ran says the exactly same thing. So that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, source number 73 at the end of the page. Mutar laniach sefer Torah, we are permitted to put a sefer Torah on top of another sefer Torah. Umanichim chumashim al gavei nevim ksuvim, we can put chumashim on top of nach, nevim ksuvim, but we cannot do the reverse. We cannot put nach, nevim ksuvim on top of chumashim, and we cannot put chumashim on top of a sefer Torah, on top of a sefer Torah. So that's when it comes to the order. Now, how does that apply nowadays when we have printing? Sorry, we're talking about scrolls that were written on a cloth with a special ink by a sofer with the special kavanas that this is going to be a Sefer Torah, or this is going to be a Chumash, this is going to be could be part of a Sefer Torah. Nowadays, we have Baruch Hashem printing presses, and we have printed Sfarim. Does this Sefer Chumash have a higher level than a Mishnayos? Or a chumash that's just Hebrew, or a chumash that has no commentary. Do you have to put the chumash that has no commentary on top of a chumash that does have commentary? Because maybe the commentary is on a lower level than a chumash that doesn't have commentary.
Or one that has Nevi'im and Ketuvim in it.
Or one that has Nevi'im and Ketuvim. So you have a Tanakh. Can a Tanakh go on top of a chumash because it doesn't have Nach in it? Or can I put, or does it not matter because there's also a Torah in it? Or how about a Siddur in general? And what if you have a Siddur that at the end of the Siddur, what do some Siddurim have nowadays?
Tehillim.
So if a Siddur is on a lower level than Nach, but if I have a Tehillim in my Siddur, another question, but I have Sukkim in it from the Torah in the Siddur. So these are all great questions. Maybe we'll cover some of this. I don't think we'll cover all of it, but we'll see. Okay, so as a starting matter, the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan was a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah. Contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, lived approximately 100 years ago, a Gaon Olam. A Gaon Olam. I remember when my grandfather passed away, I was helping my cousin clear out some of the Sfarim. I was probably around 20 years old, and off of my Zaidi's bookshelf, he took a set of Aruch HaShulchan and he said, "Here, this is for you. Learn it." And from then, I fell in love with the Aruch HaShulchan. So the Aruch HaShulchan, we're on page number 14, source number 77, says as follows. He has a big chiddush. Source number 77, second line down, where it's underlined, Devadai kol sifrei kodesh hem kedoshim. All sifrei kodesh, all Judaica has holiness. Achzeu kedusha klalis. This is a general holiness. They are holy. However, aval beprate hakedusha zelamalam is that when it comes to a priority of what's holier than the next of the svarim, the sefer Torah lamalam mikulam, and that the sefer Torah is the most kadosh. Zeu kishenichtavu l'shem kedusha sefer Torah laklaf kedin. That only applies if it was written on a klaf by a sofer with the intention that it's going to be a sefer Torah, or that it's going to be a navi, that it's going to be a ksuvim. Aval stam svarim kishelanu, but just regular books. The kosha came besvarim hanidfasim. When he says regular books, he means Judaic books, but that were just written, not with all the special kavanas. Or printed books. Anything that was printed on a printing press, ein ben prate kedushas. They do not have priorities, one versus the other. Ela kulam kedushasam shavat. They all have equal kedusha. And at the end, this is paragraph 77, he says, ben chiluk ben tor shebichtav. There is no distinction between Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebichsav. The Kulam Kedoshim Umanichim Zelza. They are all holy. They have all equal holiness, and they can all be placed one on another. So, in other words, if I have this sefer written, contemporary sefer, and I have this chumash, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, based on the Aruch HaShulchan, I can put this sefer on top of the chumash, no problem, even lechatchila. It's a non-issue. They do not have priority one versus the other. They're both holy, but not vis-a-vis each other. That's a very important point, says the Aruch HaShulchan. However, I will tell you that poskim who have come after the Aruch HaShulchan have not accepted this Aruch HaShulchan, the halacha. They say that these kedimas, the priorities of kedusha, apply even for printed svarim. As we know, people try to put the chumash on top and other things underneath it, Torah, Nevi'im Ksuvim afterward, then a Gemara. So we try to order it so the Anahaga is not like the Aruch HaShulchan. It's a Tshuva Olas Yitzhak, page 15, source number 80. It says as follows: a makom lahakel ba'anacha svarim al gebei chumashim. We cannot be lenient when it comes to putting svarim on top of chumashim. Afilu b'svarim shelanu shelo nichtuva b'kedusha. Even if it is printed svarim, we do distinguish in the kedusha. There is not one Rishon or Acharon who is lenient like this Aruch HaShulchan. No one agrees with the Aruch HaShulchan. He is a Das Yachid. So we would be makbid about this stuff. So just to talk a little bit about some of the kedimas when it comes to Svarim, just to get to some of the nitty gritty, the kedima. We don't pass like the Aruch HaShulchan. However, the poskim do say that if you see books, do you have to reorder it? Meaning, when we're putting down books, we can't be leaning like with Aruch HaShulchan. I've got to put the Chumash on top of other types of Sfarim. But what if you see it in the base Medrash and the Chumash is on the bottom? Do we have an obligation to start reordering them? So some poskim say we should. Some poskim say if it's done already, you don't have to worry about it. So that is a machlokas. When it comes to a Tanakh, an interesting question, what happens when I open the Tanakh and then the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim are on top of the Torah somehow? Like if I open it this way, I want to learn Sefer Yeshua, so the Torah part is on the right side, and I open up to Tehillim, let's say. So now all of Nevi'im and part of Ksuvim are on top of the Torah. It's not a problem. They are bound together. It is okay. Poskim also say when it comes to Chumashim, that even if there are Meforshim in it, they have the same level of Kedusha as other Chumashim that don't have Meforshim. An interesting question that was asked, how about if you have a Mikros Gedolos, that the majority of it is commentary? Can I put that on top of a Chumash that doesn't have commentary? Because the majority is commentary, that makes it less holy. No. The Ikar is the text. The text of the Psukim. That's the Ikar, so I can put a Mikros Gedolos on top of other Chumashim. Also, when it comes to a sitter, there's a lot of discussion in the Achronim with the status, either saying that it's like any other sefer, certainly it should be underneath the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, but it can even be underneath a Gemara. Some say that even if it has Tehillim, because the majority of the sit is the sitter, not the Tehillim part of it, so some poskim say that. Some poskim say that it has the same status as Nach, as Nevi'im Ksuvim. So the sitter should not be placed on top of a chumash, but it could go on top of Nevi'im Ksuvim, and a Gemara should not be placed on it. So there is an entire discussion about this, the status of a sitter. When it comes to Gemaras, do we need to put our Gemara on top? Or what if I have a Ritva or a Ran, a Rishonim? Do I have to put the Gemara on top of the Rishonim and the Rishonim on top of the Achronim? And do we have to start checking the dates in every Sefer? This Sefer was written in 1996, and that one was written in 2013, so the 1996 should go on top of it. That is not the case. Don't worry about it. So there's a tshuva that says as follows, Im Asur, Gam Kein Lahaniach, Lamashal Sifrei Rishonim on Gemara. Can I put Rishonim on a Gemara? Or Sifrei Achronim on the Gemara? So he brings the Magen Avraham as follows, that even though the Ksuvim are on a lower level than the Nevi'im, how is that? Nevi'im were based on Nevuah, and the Ksuvim are based on Ruach HaKodesh, and still we are not makbid that we have to put the Nevi'im on top of the Ksuvim. It doesn't matter. So too, it could very well be the same thing when it comes to Gemara. Rishonim, Achronim, this is Shuvah, the Shevet HaKahasi. It may not matter. You can put the Gemara underneath the Rishonim, underneath the Achronim. Nonetheless, there are those that say that it's preferable that when it comes to Gemara, it should be on top of the Rishonim and Achronim. But when it gets into the Achronim, we don't have to be checking dates. It doesn't matter the order. Johnny.
What about your own notes? Your own notes that you're taking on the Gemara, are you allowed to keep them inside the Gemara?
That's not a problem. Keeping them inside the Gemara is not a problem. That's totally fine. Write in the Gemara, keep it for posterity, absolutely. Not a problem. Okay, any other questions? Otherwise, we're going to head off to Mincha. Okay, guys, Mir Tishim, yeah.
What about buying, like you said, selling? Is that only scrolls, or is that also...
So the Kapshuto, the Aruch HaShulchan, would say that it's only scrolls, but wouldn't be the Hanhaga. That would not be... But that's a different analysis. What if I need it and stuff? So then it's not as practical nowadays, a problem, because Sfarim is so much cheaper nowadays that we just buy it and put it on ourselves. We're not selling Sfarim to get Sfarim. There's not a lot of residual value. Okay, guys, have a great week. Please read the handout for next week, and Amir Tashem, we will start the workplace halacha topics. Have a great week.
Quick question.